If you'll come along with me into the shadowy halls of the Whispering Gallery, we'll continue on past the Gallery of Ghosts, the Vault of Curses, and the Kraken's Pond, to the upper gallery and into the far reaches of our planet, where we'll find the next part of the story. I went and looked up the scientific process and how it goes. It all begins with a question. The question is worked into a nice and tidy hypothesis, an explanation that has limited evidence, complete with predictions of the answer, and then we move on to gathering data and analyzing it, and last of all, drawing fact-based conclusions. This, I'm hoping, is ringing a bell. I don't know about you, but I kind of did a sprint from biology to horticulture and lastly astronomy, completing my science requirements. I really cemented my understanding of the scientific process during my daughter's science fair projects, learning as she did, the melting points of different chocolate brands, color-fast natural dyes, growing sugar crystals on the kitchen counter. All of this made the scientific process more clear to me, with moments like bingo, and also that I didn't know the process better earlier felt like, well, duh. Welcome to the Whispering Gallery podcast. I'm Suzanne Nicolaisen. How's it going? I missed you the last couple of months, but it can take me a minute to tidy up my research into the stories that are ready for you. This story had a lot going on. Science fake versus science fact. Geology and history. Plus, just such weird blanket assumptions. I focused the story onto one of the artist illustrators, because otherwise this would be the story that never ends. So I stepped back to look at things from a bird's eye view, took another listen to part one, and now I have the rest of the tale to tell. I hope you'll join me this evening to wrap up the story about unreal hollow earth drawings. There's Admiral Byrd's strange stories with a lot of ties to sci-fi and politics of the time, and then the imaginings of John Sims, drawn as a kind of diagram of the workings of his Sims holes, and the subsequent five livable or inhabitable concentric levels of his fictional version of planet Earth. Was he trying to put his stake in the ice to be involved in the race to explore the poles? The great polar adventure? For now, let's wade into this strange dark ocean of way out woo-woo stories that I alluded to in part one. What is underneath the Earth's crust? Geology, rocks, iron, pressure, not a human-friendly environment. The Arctic, Antarctic ice and coastal polynyas, poles in the ice. And we're going to talk a bit about some solutions to clean up ink mistakes in your typography and artwork. Why? Because I wanted to know how someone like Captain John Cleve Sims, who lived in the 1800s, would have cleaned up his ink line drawings, minus busier anchor points and layered design files, etc. Come with me, my friends, into the strange inner world of one of the unreal hollow earth drawings. Captain John Cleve Sims, Jr., Captain of the U.S. Army, starting as an ensign in 1802 and honorably discharged 13 years later in 1815 as a captain. After that, he tried working as a trader, but that didn't work out, so he embraced his theory of the hollow earth. In fact, he did more than give his theory a big hug. In 1818, Captain Sims made a declaration of the conclusion of his hypothesis before gathering and analyzing the data. In his conclusion, minus the data, he pledged his belief on his very life. But he had the scientific process out of order, and the zeal he had for his idea wasn't coming from science. In his proclamation, it reads, "Light gives light. To light discover ad infinitum." St. Louis, Missouri Territory, North America, April 10th, AD 1818. It's addressed to all the world. I declare the earth is hollow and habitable within, containing a number of solid concentric spheres, one within the other, and that it is open at the poles 12 or 16 degrees. I pledge my life in support of this truth and am ready to explore the hollow if the world will support and aid me in the undertaking. He signs it of Ohio, late Captain of Infantry. To quote Albert Einstein, he says, "The scientific method is nothing but the expression of the necessity of the elementary rules of formal logic." Unquote. The drawing of the Sims concentric spheres theory shows a jawbreaker-like layer upon layer imagined view of the inside of the Earth, illustrating Sims' idea of what the internal levels of the Earth could have looked like. The drawing of the Sims hole was done in pen and ink, with the hole cutting through the Arctic Circle. Now, 8 countries cross into the Arctic Circle, but the drawing showed the Earth cored like a baked apple, minus the filling. He was betting there was an enormous hole that went right through the Earth, pole to pole, and the drawing showed the imagined layers inside. I was feeling pretty sure of my research and no holes, and then what? An article from the Smithsonian Magazine explained in the article, quote, "A mysteriously massive hole in Antarctica ice has returned," unquote. There are these things, these holes, called polynyas, and I was like, you're kidding me, right? So, quote, "Hole the size of Maine has opened in the wintertime sea ice surrounding Antarctica. Though these holes, called polynyas, are not uncommon around Earth's southernmost continent, one hasn't been spotted in this location since the 1970s, reports Heather Brady of National Geographic. If I'm not mistaken, one of the causes of these massive ice holes is an upwelling of warm water caused by the likes of a cyclone, a baby hurricane. The polynyas are not Sims holes. We've spent a fair amount of time in the polar regions with the stories of the cursed painting, the proof is in the pudding painting, and Viking time-warping stone ships." Britannica.com shares, quote, "Arctic Circle, parallel or line of latitude around Earth at approximately 66 degrees 30 north. Because of Earth's inclination of about 23.5 degrees to the vertical, it marks the southern limit of the Earth within which, for one day or more each year, the sun does not set, about June 21st, or rise, about December 21st. The length of continuous day or night increases northward from one day on the Arctic Circle to 6 months at the North Pole. The Antarctic Circle is the southern counterpart of the Arctic Circle, where on any given date, conditions of daylight or darkness are exactly opposite," unquote. In Utah, Arctic Circle has a different meaning. It's a restaurant chain that has grown to a presence in 7 states in the western United States, starting out in Salt Lake City. There's the ranch burger, shakes, the brown topper, milkshakes, but what they're most famous for, with pretty much everybody I know, was started under the unappetizing name of pink sauce. Now, I'm glad they changed it to fry sauce as we know it now. It's mayonnaise, ketchup, maybe a touch of mustard. They say it's Thousand Island-like. I haven't cracked the recipe at home yet. I have a friend who grew up here who said there is nothing like it on the East Coast. She buys a bottle to take home with her when she visits Salt Lake City. This information and more is at acburger.com if you're interested. So how did they fix mistakes in pen and ink in Sims time? Remember those Papermate pens that came with erasers? They were magic, right? But I could never quite get the ghost of ink out of the paper. Have you ever tried to work with a mistake, working it into the piece? Like, I meant to do that. And if not extremely carefully or well articulated, you may end up in a worse mess. With like a big blobule instead of a simply stray line. Can you crop the mistake out while keeping the rule of thirds happy and not mucking up the composition? Sketchbook thumbnail to a larger postcard sketch, then to a full-size drawing with the final bits worked out. Speaking of fixing or changing things, I don't know when tracing paper was invented. So to correct an ink mistake, there's microdermabrasion, like using the Tombow 67304 mono sand silica eraser, designed to remove colored pencil and ink markings. Now this one is not your pink pearl eraser from school. I had one like these and was never quite sure how to use it properly to exfoliate or make a hole in my paper. I'm not sure when these were put on the market. I can see if you're very careful, it could help. Now, surgery. Use an X-Acto knife to scrape off the ink or a layer of paper. Ah! I've seen an artist wax carving tool that might be worth trying, but that seems better for thick acrylic. This is also extreme precision. Do you need a magnifying glass for this? It's not like viewers of the work are not going to notice the layer of missing paper or different sheen. Well, maybe some people can be more delicate and precise than me, and it wouldn't be noticeable. This would probably require some more practice. Now, one thing I've found helpful is acrylic pens, and they lock them up at Blick. So acrylic white pens do a great job fixing mistakes done in pen and ink, and in watercolor and Dr. Martin watercolor dyes and watercolor inks on white paper, and for sharpening highlights and reflections. Now, you can paint over it, which I guess the acrylic pens are doing. There is a Dr. P.H. Martin's bleed-proof white that apparently is pretty fabulous. Lindsay at TPK mentions it. The next point takes a little bit more time and it's a bit of a pain, but you can use a light box or nearby window to retrace and maybe just redo it, because that's always an option. Or maybe use an overhead projector. Use the design process to lock in your plan first. Thumbnail, rough, drawing, real size before working on the final. So, okay, now we will get back to that giant hole in the ice cap way up north at the Arctic Circle. There's the ice cap, but there are also 8 countries that cross into the Arctic Circle: the United States, Canada, Greenland, part of Denmark, and it's not for sale. Duh. Norway, Sweden, Finland, Iceland, and Russia. And these countries aren't new. I wonder what the state of world maps were. I mean, the Russians knew about Alaska. Neighbors knew about their neighbor countries. Sim's theory would have dropped what already existed at the North and South Polar regions into the hole. Imagine, if you will, huge, unsustainable oceanic waterfalls as far as the eye can see, falling away into darkness, going somewhere. Calving glaciers dropping over the edge, icebergs, permafrost landslides, and in the north, what about polar bears and what about the Inuit people? The gravity of his proposition is catastrophic. Given the expeditions to the poles were ramping up full of adventure, he was not alone in his dreams of discovery, just about what he thought was going on. Russia's first colony in Alaska dates to 1784 on Kodiak Island. So this was like first contact. And Promishlenki, fur traders, got rolling, and illness began to spread, much like when Europeans first came to North America, farther south. In fact, 80% of Alaskan indigenous people died due to the illnesses that were spread by the colonizers. I didn't hear about any change of heart regarding either of the Sims holes based on countries or land existing there already. Russia, Greenland, Scandinavia, remember Svalbard in the Kingdom of Norway? In the way up of the north, northern archipelago of Norway, between Norway and the North Pole. It's mentioned in The Proof is in the Pudding Paintings, Season 4, Episode 8, where people who live there carry flare guns to scare away polar bears and go out in twos. Speaking of life in the extreme north, have you seen True Detective, Night Country on Max? I was going to say HBO, but it's Max now. The story takes place in Alaska, and it's filmed in Iceland. It's pretty intriguing with the tie-in to mythology and ghosts and culture. It centers around the murder mystery of a midwife, protester, activist, Annie Kotuk, an indigenous Alaskan woman. The story blurs the line between terrifying supernatural moments, thin borders with the dead, cooler night, all dark all the time, cultural heritage, and the dysfunction in the police station. Did I mention there were ghosts? HBO's description is, the eight men who operate the Tassal Arctic Research Station vanish without a trace. To solve the case, detectives Liz Danvers, Jodie Foster, and Evangeline Navarro, Kelly Reese, will have to confront the darkness they carry in themselves and dig into the haunted truths that lie buried under the eternal ice. Now, Sims' idea was that the polar areas would be flattened due to the rotation of the Earth. Think of the amusement park rides, or at the fair where you stand with your back against the ride wall in a circular area. It goes round and round, and the force holds you to the wall you are standing against. Or those crazy music rides that you sit in a car and go round and around and are squished to the side of the car away from the center of the ride, dizzy and squished. As time moved on, Sims changed his belief from five concentric rings on the inside of the Earth to one. The width of the Sims holes would be 4,000 miles wide at the North Pole area and an even bigger 6,000 miles wide at the South Pole. Antarctica, the fifth largest continent, about the size of Kansas, again with the same problem of wiping out the existing land, which was discovered in 1820. Sims died in 1829. Maybe he didn't hear about Antarctica. We've established there's no giant hole. Rather, cartographers, geology, and science have established that. Satellites. Not like I've gone and checked myself, but the Arctic Ocean is up there without a big drain. Antarctica is on the map as a landmass, but here's what the U.S. Geological Survey, U.S. Department of the Interior, says about the North Pole. Unlike the South Pole, the geographic North Pole does not lie on a landmass. The Earth's northern axis of rotation is in the Arctic Ocean, covered by shifting sea ice. Landsat does not image the North Pole, which makes it an imperfect investigative tool for the detection of Santa's workshop. Unquote. Mary Anning said, science is the language in which we converse with nature, and its truths are revealed through the language of evidence. Sci-fi, sci-fake. So what is it with science fiction and science fake? Sci-fi author Isaac Asimov said, today's science fiction is tomorrow's science fact. We found ourselves another proclamation. Huh. Here we take a fork in the road to look at our dear planet Earth. Science, specifically geology, that is today's fact and tomorrow's. On Wondrium, there's a very cool lecture series, The World's Greatest Geological Wonders by Professor of Earth and Planetary Science, Dr. Michael E. Wisession. He takes you on an armchair tour of our planet, explaining the geology as part of the tour. There are some amazing places, some as recognizable as Yellowstone, Mammoth Caves, and the Grand Canyon, and other places like Gawa Hagen, the world's most acid lake, lava lakes, sand mountains, and crystal caves. Honorary member of the Explorers Club, as of 1927, Rear Admiral Richard Evelyn Byrd of the U.S. Navy, was a polar explorer who visited both the Arctic and the Antarctic. On May 9, 1926, Richard and Floyd Bennett, the pilot for the flight, left Norway to try and fly to the North Pole. There are questions about if they really made it or not, given fuel used, mileage, and notes between Bird and Bennett that they were passing back and forth that was too loud to talk. It seems like they probably did not make it. In fact, there was an independent review that came to that conclusion. Bird wrote that they should have been there, but they weren't. So in February 19th of 1947, Bird's secret diary recorded exploration over the North Pole in a book released in 2012. But he was in Antarctica at the South Pole with Operation High Jump in 1947. Curious. While exploring the North Pole, he saw mountains and grass and a mammoth. And of course, you know where there's one mammoth. Green hills, temperatures of 74 degrees, and at the time, shows like Flash Gordon, Lost Horizons, may have influenced his adventure. Just saying, Bird even compares it to Buck Rogers. That is, if Bird wrote this secret diary. So pull up your hoodie and grab your cocoa. Here's the gist of it. And it went down in the Arctic, North Pole. They were flying, exploring the North Pole, Bird and his pilot Bennett, when flying crafts came up to escort them to a city that had appeared. They found they were caught in a tractor beam, so they had to go along with it. Kind of Star Wars-ish. Long story short, they, who turned out to be Nazis, took them inside the Earth to talk to the Master. The horror of the nuclear bombs dropped in Japan got there, the underworld people's attention, so they summoned Bird to give him a warning for humanity to get our crap together. After Auf Wiedersehens were said, he got back to camp. Later back in the U.S., he was ordered by the government to stay silent about it. Whew, that was a lot of oddness. Even in the name of sci-fi, how did it get attached to Admiral Byrd? So this story could have been its own season. The unreal hollow earth drawings that didn't fare well against the scientific method. Existing maps, people, and countries. Reality for the win! Okay, so this is a little more about the episodes I mentioned that go into the northern regions. So, The Cursed Painting, Season 5, Episode 2 and 3. There is a painting of a scene of one of the ships from the Franklin Expedition. The ship is deserted, polar bears are scavenging, it's gross. And Man Proposes, God Disposes, painted by Sir Edwin Landseer, known for his paintings of animals, lions, dogs, stags. This painting of the polar bears doing their thing is said to be cursed. Why did Vikings create stone ship earth art? Venture into the past where some Viking art was expressed as stone ships put to harbor inland. Within the pages of a book, a stone ship rests, nestled in a clearing surrounded by pine tree guardians, where the grasses grow right up against the stones, breaking like calm seas in wispy, dry strands. Look for the story of Viking time-warping stone ships in Season 3, Episode 1. Do you love sea monster stories? Listen to The Kraken, Season 1, Episodes 8 through 11. Dive into Scandinavian folklore about the mysterious Kraken and into deep sea gigantism and more. The proof is in the Pudding Paintings, Season 4, Episode 8. Our home, barn, and mound spirits not spooky enough for you? Just wait for the unsettling Julebakken. Ways you could support the Whispering Gallery podcast. Rate and review the show on whatever platform you listen to the Whispering Gallery on, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. I'd really appreciate it if you'd do me a favor and give me one of those snazzy ratings. Tell a friend about the Whispering Gallery by sharing your favorite episode with them. One of the favorites of a lot of people has been the episodes about the Oracle of Delphi and Circe. Ways to feel a bit more part of our Whispering Gallery community, and together with your peeps, consider getting a Whispering Gallery t-shirt as one way to feel a part of things. It's a dark heather gray t-shirt with our skull logo and shades of purple and 70s groovy lettering. Next up, another way would be to grab a skull acrylic pin, DM me on Facebook your name and address and I'll send you one, or buy one as listed on our link tree. To get there, it's https://linktr.ee/whisperinggallerypodcast. Many thanks to Free Sound and the talented audio contributors. Until next time, museum goers, remember to keep your flashlights close and your spooky art stories closer when visiting the Whispering Gallery. Talk to you soon, and watch out for those holes in the ice. Is that mummy brown on your palette? If you're unsure, we can always check for DNA. May I invite you to turn your flashlight on? Welcome to the spooky cool, or rather spooky ghoul, world of paranormal and unexplained art. Our creepy gallery of scary goodies include cursed paintings, UAP phenomena, poisonous pigments, sea monsters, ghost stories, and other mysteries. Frankly, I don't know if there's enough sage to go around. But I don't want to frighten you before you hear the stories. Just be sure to keep your flashlights close. There's no going back. Join the Whispering Gallery podcast for spine-tingling and hard-to-believe art stories from around the globe. Look for us on your favorite podcatcher and remember to keep your flashlight close and your spooky art stories closer while visiting the Whispering Gallery.